Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday at noon, and we're celebrating time to choose good news. This is going to be a great episode. Look at that. Do you want to grow up? I don't know. Some people may have some different thoughts about that. Some people may say, nah, I don't want to grow up. I want to stay a Toys R Us kid. I don't know. Stay young at heart. Some of those good things. But we're going to talk today about the importance of growing up spiritually. It's going to be a great day. I'm telling you, we've got a good lineup here of our regular crew. No panel of guests like we had last week, but we've got Joel and Jennifer on today. It's going to be great that we're going to talk about some of these issues about why people maybe don't want to grow up spiritually. Maybe some of the reasons that hinder them growing up spiritually and some of those kind of things. And it's going to be a great, great, great episode. So I don't want to spend much time in the pre-talking, but I do want to say this. It's been a couple of weeks since I plugged this. The one-year Bible journey is doing so well. We've had just a marvelous amount of success with the one-year Bible journey. We've got people, I think that we've got somewhere close to 100 to 125 people who are faithfully going through it every single day. And a lot of people are viewing that. So if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right here on this channel. Just look it up. 1 year Bible journey. You can catch up and jump right in right where we are and do it that way. Or you can go back to January and you can catch up. And it's about 10 minutes up to the most is about 15 or 16 minutes. So you're committing less than 15 minutes a day to reading through the Bible in a year. And it's been an awesome thing. Really, really awesome. A lot of people have given us so much feedback of what the Lord's talking to them about. And I don't remember exactly where we are today. I think we are in 1 Kings, if I'm not mistaken. No, we're not in 1 Kings. We're in 1 Chronicles, excuse me, 1 Chronicles. I'm reading ahead in Esther and getting ready to start Job. So sometimes I forget where today is. But make sure you jump in, catch up. Without further ado, I want to jump into today's topic and bring on our crew. Just going to bring you both on. No real major introductions, but Joel, go for it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to grow up physically, I guess I could say that. Like, I want to stay young physically, so much so that I've been starting to do cold plunges. I don't know if you've heard about this. But yeah, they made a cold plunge like tub basically out of a chest freezer in at the gym. So this was 3 days in a row. I've done it 4 times total now. But this is 3 serious? Days in a row.
Are you fully submerged yet?
No, I haven't dunked my head under yet. I haven't dunked my head. I go up to about my shoulders.
Do you like you sit down like you're in a bathtub, or how's it work?
Yeah, pretty much. So if you just think of a giant freezer chest, it's full of water. They've got like a filter in there that's keeping the water cold and keeping it turning. And then, it takes me a little bit of time to get hyped up for it. And then I hit my timer for 2 minutes, jump in, sit down in it. Yeah, 2 minutes. Ooh. That's all I go for. So, but that's how much I don't want to get old and physically. Like, I'm trying to stay young physically.
So, what does a cold plunge, like, what does that do for your, like, for your muscles, like, for your body? What's the benefits?
It's more, I do it more for my joints, but there's all kinds of stuff. It's supposed to reduce inflammation in your joints. It's supposed to, because your body goes into this survival mode of and releases all kinds of chemicals, right? And
no way.
Dopamine and certain, like, all these things going on, and people talk about increasing their focus. So like, I'm gonna be like laser focused for this podcast now because of it. But yeah, there's all kinds of benefits that they claim it brings. So I'm like, hey, you know what, I got some achy joints here now and again from working out, so I'm gonna give it a try and see how it goes. So
there you go. Well, so there are options out there. If you're listening, see, Joel is a man of many talents and much knowledge. He's a walking dictionary in some of these areas. So take him up on that, guys. Let us know in the comments if you've ever done a cold plunge. Speaking of comments, Jennifer, we'll get to a couple of these, and then I'll let you kind of say hey to everybody. Carol is early. Rhonda, she was, man, look at these guys. They were having a conversation before we even started. Carol said ready. That's Rhonda cool. Says ready. And Jamie McKinney, look at there. Hi, Jamie.
We have missed you, and we're so glad that we've seen your face the last couple of weeks. We missed you at the cook-off at FBC, but I think because you weren't there to cook, I was able to win. So thank you for that. If you had entered, I probably would have gotten second. So anyway, it's so good to have you with us. We love you so much.
Absolutely. Jamie attends our church and we have an annual cook-off. Those of you that are watching, we have an annual cook-off and like she won the 4 out of the first 5 years or something ridiculous. Like that.
Reigning lady. Cook-off queen.
Oh yeah. Lady can perennial. Oh, she can cook. Diana says, ready. Laura Dean says, hey, all. And Megan's, oh, look, she's in on the ice baths. Ice baths. Yes. Fountain of Youth. Good job, Joel. Jennifer, that's next for us.
Okay, Meg.
There you go.
We'll see about that.
You went through quite a stretch here, like a year or two or more that you were working out with Megan, weren't you?
Yeah, we were.
Laura said, I would love to do a polar plunge someday. Do it. Do it more. I almost said Megan. Do it, Laura. There's nothing holding you back.
I'll video, but I'm not doing it.
Absolutely. Randy says, hey, y'all, glad to be here. Ice baths. That's hard to say. Were my jam back when I ran track. Ooh, there you go.
Nice.
And Laura's getting in on saying, hey, Jamie. And Ashley says, hey, not to be confused with, like, every time I hear somebody or read that, I think of, hey. But that's just me because.
She's more of the northern accent, right?
I don't know how you'd be able to say that.
I don't know either.
Like the Sarah, like what was it? The Sarah Palin kind of accent. Not that Ashley sounds like Sarah Palin, but her voice. But yeah,
she doesn't sound like Sarah Palin.
But that old Minnesota.
Minnesota.
That's exactly right.
Minnesota.
Well, we're gonna have a good time today. This is a conversation that I've been looking forward to having all week long because I think that this is something that really hits home for a lot of people. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
For sure.
Yeah, all of us. I mean, all of us are on a journey. And Jamie's giving you the laughing. I think that that's her way of saying, yep, she knows.
My one and done, right?
One and done. You're not going to win next year. No, but I think that a lot of people any believer, I should say this. Let me start out this way. I would hope, I'll let you guys jump in here and give me your thoughts, but I would hope that any believer would want to be growing and progressing. Yeah. It's really strange. I saw some statistics this week, and I should have brought up the article. I really wasn't planning on doing this. It was a Arizona Christian University, was who it was. Mm-hmm. But it was a survey that they did of a lot of people. I mean, I think it was in the thousands that they called and surveyed. And they found out that just generally in the world, like people that, I forget how they worded it, but there was a separate category for evangelical Christians. Let me say it that way. So the world, if you just want to put it in a big blanket term, the world, 58% of the people that they surveyed said that there was no objective truth that was definable by an outside source, right? So 58% of people thought that everybody, like, we've talked about this before, like the my truth, you have an opinion, I have a truth, everybody has a truth, right? But 58%, but this was the shocking point. They flipped over to evangelical Christians and it was 46%.
Whoa.
46% say that there's no objectionable outside truth. Now, by definition, evangelical Christians are those by definition that say they believe the Bible.
Right.
I mean, so that was, and I don't mean to laugh at that, but like that's
sad.
That's laughable. I mean, that you would, that 48%, 46%, 58 and 46 were the two numbers. So 46%, almost half of people that say they believe the Bible don't believe that there's an objectionable truth.
Yeah.
Which is before we even get to talking about growing up spiritually, which is believing the truth and really wanting to progress. Jennifer, let me hand it over to you. Sure. What about that? I mean, half of evangelical Christians.
I think the biggest thing with that is that people are not planted in the right places. They're not planted in the right churches. They're not planting themselves around the right people. And because they're planting themselves in a comfortable position, and therefore they're not being challenged to grow at all. And so it's an easy way out for these, so-called Christians, to just do things that are comfortable, and they don't want to challenge themselves. And we've talked a lot about that, about where you planting yourself in good soil, whether it's the church that you plant your family in, or the people that you surround yourself with, your tribe, the people that you turn to in those times. They're not doing that. And it's really sad in the society that we live in that that's the case. I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Yeah, I echo that completely. And that's really well said. Joel, what do you think?
Yeah, it is sad because it's sometimes it's hard to talk about this kind of stuff because you don't want it to come from like this like puffed like or seem like it's coming from a puffed up like elitist kind of point of view, but it's sad because of my perspective now. You know, like it's like when you know something and you want other people to know it so much that it's like it's sad when they don't know it.
Right.
And it's not that I know any better. I guess I'm thankful that I am planted somewhere that does believe there's objectional truth and that does preach it, you know? But you also have to be willing. There has to be a willingness, you know, we're talking about growth today. There has to be a willingness to be open to being challenged and being wrong sometimes about your perspective.
Yeah,
we
live in a society now where everybody thinks they're right and they know everything and they can't be taught. I mean, one of the things that we've told our kids from the beginning is you have to be teachable, not just now, but throughout the rest of your life. You've got to be teachable. And we live in a society now where kids, young people, the younger generations, they're not teachable. They think they know everything. And it's becoming very dangerous is what it's doing. It's bad.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, there's a lot that you guys just shared there, a lot to unpack. I think that, and I'm not trying to make connections where they're not, but people have talked about the whole generation that changed somewhere around 20 years ago, 20 to 25 years ago, when everybody started getting trophies. You know, the winners, losers, just show up, get a participation trophy. And I'm not dogmatic about this. So when I say this, I echo what Joel said. You know, I'm not trying to come across like an authority figure on this because it's a fine line to walk. People watch this and, this broadcast, listen to this podcast, which by the way, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you can listen to podcasts.
nice plug.
There you go.
Good one.
No, but people listen to this, right, to get answers. Okay. So they do look at me and people at church look at me as a quote authority figure because hopefully I've read the Bible, right? Hopefully I have spent some time understanding truth, spent time with Jesus myself, spent time with the Father, and have something to share. So there's that element of it. But like Joel was saying, like we don't want to come across like we have all the answers. I think that the conversation though for today is especially where that survey was conducted, right? 46%, like the objectionable truth outside. Although we know that we know some answers, right? The ones that we don't know yet, I think that humility to say that we don't know those answers is one thing, but then also the follow-up part B to that sentence is, but I know where I can find the answer, right? Yeah, exactly. It's not like, it's not inside me. Oh, I mean, Jesus is inside me. So because of that, you know, I have the mind of Christ and all those kinds of things. And the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is leading me, guiding me, directingly, teaching me all things. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he won't speak of himself. He'll take the things that are mine and show them to you, Jesus said. So so all those things are true, but it's not me. Like, I'm not the answer in my world. What say you about that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I think that's truth right there. You know, understanding that we have the answer. We've been given, all of us have been given the answer in the Word. The Word is right at our fingertips. And so every answer we ever need is at our fingertips. But that doesn't mean that the way that I portray it or the way that I say it, I'm not always going to be right, but I'm going to go to the source that has the answer. And so many people are turned away by that because maybe I come across like a know-it-all, or maybe I come across like I have all of the answers like inside of me, which I do, but it's not me. It's Jesus on the inside of me. And people don't understand that. Answers. And so we have to say it with compassion, like Joel was saying.
Yeah. What were you saying there, Joel?
I just was saying because they're not our answers. Like we're
exactly
like, you know, they're coming from the truth source.
That's right.
And we're just repeating them. That's all.
But Jesus said right famously in the book of John, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And I've said this so many times, you know, one of the ways that you could translate that Greek word for truth is reality. So many things in life right now, and I think that we have to have a whole episode on artificial intelligence. We're going to do that. So just write that down. If you're listening to this, just be on the lookout for that. We're going to talk about it. I read an interesting article today, just this morning, that summed up some of the testimony that one of the CEOs of one of the AI companies was testifying before Congress. And he was like, listen, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. He said, you know, there are so many people right now already that have had that are being prosecuted because of articles. One guy was prosecuted based on a Washington Post article that was never written. It was an artificial intelligence. It was an AI crafted article that they brought charges against the guy based on an article that was never written and based on complete bogus lies. Wow. And this guy said that elections are going to be swayed because of it. Stock markets are going to be swayed. World markets are going to be swayed because of it. He said it's going to be difficult for a jury to be able to look at evidence and see what's real and what's not. And he said, this is going to absolutely cripple our world, basically. I mean, he didn't use those exact words, but that was his thought. And so, you know, I found that interesting, though. We'll have a whole episode on that at some point, kind of what the ramifications are. But there is a connection to today because, you know, where do we go for information, right? Where do we go for the knowledge to help propel us into a place where we can grow up? And now I've shared this before at our church. I'll say this here today. People want knowledge, right? So a lot of people, even believers, right, is who I'm talking about right now. They want knowledge. They think that if they know more Bible, that's just going to automatically translate into lifestyle change. And that's not how it works. Knowledge is one thing, and knowledge is important. Knowledge is understanding facts. Knowledge is understanding truth, you know, Bible truth, if you want to say it that way. But here's the thing. Knowledge without wisdom is, in a lot of ways, I won't say completely pointless, but it's kind of pointless, because wisdom, by definition, is the ability to use knowledge. And so, you know, if you have wisdom and you don't have knowledge, if you have knowledge and you don't have the wisdom to know how to appropriate it in your life, then it's like you don't even have it. I mean, so where do we go? So that's why the Bible says, you know, in Proverbs, it says, with all you're getting, get understanding. So that understanding, so that's even a different category. So you got knowledge, you've got wisdom, and then you've got understanding. And how I like to share that is, that's kind of the light bulb moment. That's when the light switch goes off and everything becomes clear. Everything that you know, that you've read about Jesus, that you've read about the Holy Spirit, what you know about your Father's heart and his character and who he is, when that starts to click and that light, you have that light bulb aha moment, like that's understanding. And so Solomon said, with all you're getting, get understanding, like seek wisdom. It's the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding also. So you've got to know how to appropriate these things to be successful in life and to grow up.
Well, in 2 Peter 3:19, Peter encourages the believer to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And so it's kind of back what Joel was saying. You know, we have to have grace for those that don't know it, but at the same time, knowledge so that we can share it in that manner. So,
yeah, that's good. That's really good. Yeah. Go ahead, Joel.
Just to speak on the wisdom part. Well, actually, I forgot what I was going to say. It just left me. I have to check out some comments.
First of all, what you were sharing resonated with Ashley Marty, Jennifer. She said, yes, Jennifer. Again. Not gonna say it like a Minnesotan, but anyway, Minnesotan. Carol B said, truth. I had a friend who literally put her fingers in her ears and started singing because she didn't want to hear a scripture I was trying.
Wow.
This is one of those
about not growing up, right? I mean, that's like little kid stuff, mature, right?
Exactly. That is spiritual immaturity at its finest, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of which, I mean, we have to. I did put this on my little box machine here, so. Again, I can't play too much of it like back to back to back, or else I'll get a copyright strike.
They all know it. Good part
here. Ready? I don't want to grow up because if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. You guys know it. I know you guys were
singing. The 80s and 90s everybody. Kids were singing along with
That's
it.
That's right.
80s and 90s kids, you were all singing it right now. Put in the comments, do not lie. This is a Christian broadcast.
That's right.
Let us know if you were singing it. Just put a thumbs up or something. I know Megan was singing it. What'd she say here? She said, I had a minor downward spiral this weekend, and because you and Jennifer just told me the absolute truth and didn't participate in my pity party, I have been able to propel forward. Well, there you go.
That's good,
there
Meg.
You go. That's awesome. And Laura said, taking me back to childhood. Right. Absolutely. When we were going to call it growing up, we were talking about growing up spiritually. I sent an image to Allie Barrett, shout out for putting together this amazing thumbnail. And I sent her that picture of Jeffrey, the giraffe. And I was like, you got to put Jeffrey in this thumbnail for this week. So anyway, she did a great job. But Jennifer, yeah. So talk about that truth aspect, and kind of maybe just kind of draw on some of your experience and lead into. I have a couple of verses of scripture I want to share today. I don't want this necessarily to be a Bible study feel. I just want to talk about this. And so let us know a little bit about how you maybe a light bulb moment that went off, or when things started to change for you.
Yeah, I think for me, the moment, I've been in church my whole life and been a Christian since I was 8. But I don't think I started my spiritual maturity journey until about 10 years ago. I was introduced to the Word of Faith and the grace movement. I was introduced to that through you, Anthony, when we got together. But it wasn't, I couldn't get to the place where God wanted me to get just by hearing it from you. Like, it had to become a revelation to me. So about 10 years ago, the Lord started dealing with me, and it became truth to me. It was exactly what I needed to hear him say. And it was, it's time for you to understand and get knowledge from the Word for yourself and live it out. Instead of just whatever I heard on Sundays or whatever you would say to me in conversation, like, I would just take that and think that I was spiritually growing and mature. But I wasn't, because I didn't handle situations the right way. I didn't turn to the Word the first, you know, always the first time. You know, my emotions would get to me and I would be led by my feelings. And when I started that journey for myself, and it became the hard truth, like, no matter what happened, no matter who hurt me, no matter what was done, no matter what I was facing, when I went to the Word, yes, and I searched for the answers myself, it was amazing how peace flooded me, how the answers came, and it led into us becoming, you know, we were 2 years into pastoring before I really felt like I was on that journey.
Wow.
So any believers that are listening today, you might say, I've been a believer like my whole life, or I've been a believer for so long, but I just don't think I've reached that yet. Saying that is the first step. Now you That's take good. The next step by getting into the Word for yourself and allowing the truth of God to just catapult you to that next level. And I'm still growing. I'm still not, like, it's a continual thing. Like, I'm never going to be like to the level that I need to be. I want and desire to continue to grow in my spiritual maturity. So that's kind of been my journey, and I'm still doing that. You know, Sunday was a real monumental, like you said, moment for me in my spiritual growth.
For those of you that don't know, Jennifer preached her first sermon Sunday morning. It's been a long time coming. And you know, this was something that you alluded to on Sunday. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I apologize.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I'll hand it back to you here in just a second. But something you alluded to earlier, well, on Sunday when you were ministering. And I think that this ties into growing up, right? Because this is where our kids are concerned. Yeah. Husbands, if you're listening to this, if you're a husband, where your wife is concerned, I'll give you a real-time example. You know, the Lord shared some things with me and showed me some things about Jennifer and her growth and some things that she was going to step into literally years ago. I'm talking mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 years ago when I first started seeing some of the things in here. I saw them in here, some of the things that I saw with my eyes on Sunday morning. And so there's more. So more to come is what I was going to say. So, you know, it's important that we have to realize what we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most difficult things in the world to come up with, right? Because you don't, by default, you don't know what you don't know. And, right. People that are arrogant and, I won't get into any specific examples, but I have probably two dozen of them from being a pastor, just the ones from being a pastor, where people come to your church and they've been in a legalistic background. They've been in church for 30 years. They come to your church and you know within 5 minutes of speaking to them that they've never heard the gospel. They've been in church 30 years. They couldn't pick out New Covenant realities out of a lineup. If you, you know, with the flashlight and gave them a Bible in 3 hours, they couldn't find them. And they come to church for 2, 3, 4 years. And it's like what you were saying. You watch them on social media. They parrot things that you say from the pulpit.
Right.
And they think because they're saying what you say that they got it. Mm-hmm. And that's a step that is part of the process. You need to say it till you do get it. I'm not saying that, but when adversity happens or something goes on in their family, like they'll leave without even ever calling the pastor. Like they will like, and they do go on these downward spiral moments. Like Megan was referring to in her comment a little while ago, they go on that and they don't have the sense to reach out and think, there's clearly a reason I'm having a spiral in my life, right? Yeah. These things don't just happen because, you know, God is good and Satan's bad. So we're going to have these moments. Yeah. No, it's not as simple as that. It's most probably and most often because you didn't put yourself in a position to walk out the kingdom system in your life, because there are truths in the Word of God that are going to be true whether you ever believe them or not, right? Yeah.
Well, and you're talking about that person, but from the minister side, from the three of us, our side of it, our spiritual maturity shows in how we treat them when they walk out the door.
That's right.
Are we treating them with love and compassion and telling them we'll always be here for you? Because to me, that's spiritual maturity, how you handle those people. Yeah. So that's good. That was
good. Go ahead, Joel.
I was just going to speak on that. It was what was starting to come up as you guys were talking, and Jennifer, as you were saying some of that stuff, is the challenge with growing up spiritually and learning truths from the Word is that sometimes, kind of like the cliche saying goes, the truth hurts. Mm-hmm. It stings sometimes when you make a realization about when you see a truth. And that was kind of what I was going to say earlier that I kind of forgot was Carol's previous comment about holding fingers in the ears, right? It's because people they don't want that hurt. They don't want to feel uncomfortable about it. They're not willing to face the areas that they might be lacking and that the Lord's trying to show them to help them grow, because that's where growth comes. And so I've said this before, I think maybe in one of my sermons that I preached about pruning a bush. You know, I don't know a lot about plants, but there's something about pruning, you know, plants that helps them grow more. And so, God, when Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that's what the Word tells us. It tells us that He corrects us now through the Holy Spirit. He wants to prune things about us to help us grow, but sometimes that pruning hurts. You know, sometimes it stings when you have to cut something, you know, away. But that's really a big key to growth, is being able to be open to that pruning and allow it to happen.
Yeah. And as bad as it stings, aren't you thankful that it gets out of the way then?
Oh yeah. It's so much better afterwards. Better. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Brianna says, hey y'all. Laura Dean says, it was so good. Jennifer, you're a great minister. Precious. Laura said, Jamie said, agreed, Laura. Diana said, every season in life gives you opportunity to grow more in different areas of your life. This is so good. And I want to share a couple of verses here really quickly. And I'm been slowly moving to the New King James Version. So this is the NKJV. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for those of you who are wondering. And it's the first few verses here. It says, this is Paul writing a letter to the church at Corinth. So he says, and I, brethren, now think about this statement that he makes here. I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, I want to kind of park on this just for a second here. He said he could not speak to them as spiritual people. Now, this is massive, massive. I wish we had you know what I do have? I do have this. Yeah.
He has entirely too much fun with that.
I have too much fun with this, right? But this is a wake-up call. That's the sound that nobody wants to hear in the morning, right? The wake-up call. I want to point this out. He's writing this to a church. Mm-hmm. He's writing this to the church at Corinth. And so this just proves that you can be in church and not be spiritual. You know, so people think that they're spiritual because they're going to church. You're making a spiritual decision to show up to church, but what you do with that is going to determine how spiritual you really are. And he goes on to say this. So he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For you are still carnal. I'll just stop right there for a second. So he said, I mean, this is the apostle. He apostled that church. He set that in order. And he's writing to them kind of, I picture with a, as he's writing this portion of the letter, when he gets to this part, I can just kind of see him, you know, kind of sorrowful, you know, with a proper grief, like Jesus when he wept over Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. In other words, it means, Jesus, if there was anybody that was amazingly, perfectly spiritual, it was Jesus, right? He never messed up, and he had people betray him. He had people kill him, right? Moses was probably one of the greatest prophets, old covenant prophets ever to live. And I mean, come on. And God was leading that congregation. God was leading, if you want to call the nation of Israel a church, I mean, that an Old Testament version of a church, it was a group of God's kids, right? And Moses wasn't the leader. God was the leader. God literally would, you pick up the cloud and start moving, and they all moved. Like they followed God. This is before judges. It's before a king. It's before any of these kind of things. They followed God, and God couldn't even stop what they did. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is huge. When we think that we're going to get something by osmosis because we show up to church and we hear a good sermon or two, that's wonderful. But what are you doing with that word? When Jesus, some lawyers came to him one time and said, you know, tried to tempt him where the law was concerned. And he said, well, what was written in the law and how do you read it? In other words, it doesn't matter what's written in the law. I mean, it does, but it doesn't for you unless you're reading it properly. Who wants to jump in here?
I will.
Go for it.
Bueller. Bueller.
Crickets. You need a cricket.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, Anthony. It also talks about in Hebrews chapter 5, in 13 and 14. I'm going to read this. It says, anyone, I don't think you have it pulled up, but anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
What verse is that? Is that
Hebrews
the same verse?
Hebrews 5, 13 and 14.
Well, you know what, Jennifer, as it so happens, let me just hit next because this
Did
is where I was going.
Did you have that
next.
One?
Hebrews 5, this is where I was going. I just hit the next button. So this is New King James. New King James. I'm going to just go ahead and pull it up so people can see it.
No, because mine's the NIV. So read that. Let's go ahead and read through that.
Absolutely. Then. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, and just so you know, Joel, and so everybody knows.
He's got it.
But it says, for everyone who partakes, verse 13 says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says that they were carnal, they weren't spiritual, yet they couldn't hear what he was saying to them. And then the writer of Hebrews says what the reason is, right? He said the people that are drinking milk and not ready for solid food, it's because they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's the number one message everybody needs to hear in church. Absolutely. And there are churches all around that don't preach that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. They preach that you're no good, that you're unworthy, that you're a sinner. You're saved by grace, but you're still a sinner, and you're just, you know, a wretched, you know, all this kind of stuff. They don't know the righteousness of God message. They don't understand what that is. And so why then are we surprised that we have churches full of babes?
Yeah, they leave church feeling worse with no confidence, completely lack of confidence. So they don't turn to the truth because they don't know the truth well enough. They don't have the confidence to speak to those things and to live a spiritually mature life. They don't understand it.
Or
it's so watered down that they don't understand that side of righteousness either. You know, they water it down so much that that now Jesus isn't even really a part of the righteousness anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just kind of like a, you know, probably more like a feel good speech or a, you know, just a
motivational speech.
Well, and so, I actually asked the Lord about this specifically not long ago. And again, I shared this kind of close to the top of the hour. I want to reiterate here. We are halfway through the broadcast. I'm going to reiterate this here. If you weren't watching the first few minutes, you know, I've been on a journey. I mean, we're all on a journey, but I've been on a very transparent journey with our church family as a pastor, as just as a man of God, as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God. I've been very vulnerable with my Heavenly Father and things that I need to grow in, places that I've needed to grow in understanding where people are concerned and not being, because it's difficult when you do have some of these answers and it seems like people don't want to ask the questions, you know, that's difficult because it's like you're here waiting to help them. And, but anyway, I digress. I don't want to go down that road. My point is where this is concerned, right? Where the righteousness of God in Christ is concerned, you know, I've had some real conversations with the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of popular churches around the country, right? Not just in our town, or our state or our city or whatever. I mean, they're all over the place. Yeah. Every major city has got multiple, mega churches, right? They've got multiple churches. And I'm not, this is not a blanket statement on all mega churches. I'm disclaimer here, please hear me. But I have watched sermons from many of the popular churches around, and most of them major on a message that your breakthrough's coming, even though you're worthless, right? I'm paraphrasing here. Even though you're worthless, God is still in control. He'll show up right on time. There's a breakthrough coming your way. Just hang in there. You know, when you're at the end of your rope, just hang on and tie a knot and keep swinging because God's got your back. He's going to catch you, all these kind of things. Every single thing that I just said there sounds so right and so religious, but every single one of those things takes out the victory of the believer. It takes out the finished work of the cross from making an impact in my life when the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or which strengthens me, Christ being the anointing. I can do all things through Christ, the anointing, which strengthens me. He didn't say Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Mm-hmm. So, The point I'm trying to make is it takes somebody who wants to grow up to get to a point where it's like, I'm not just going to wait on God to do all this on my life. He did everything he's going to do at the cross through Christ and in Jesus. And because of that, now, like the Apostle Paul fell into one of those slumps, right? First Corinthians 12, I believe it is. He sought the Lord. He was talking to Jesus three times. And he said, will you take this away from me? And three times Jesus himself personally answered. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My perfect strength, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Jesus himself, the head of the church, quantified and defined grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So he tells us right there what his grace is. It's strength in us so that we can do what we're called to do. Amen. Right. Yeah. Who wants to jump in?
Well, and that's what people, that's part of the misunderstanding of righteousness. And part of the misunderstanding that it has nothing to do with our righteousness. It's all about Jesus's righteousness and what Jesus can do through us. I think I'm actually going to be preaching on that on Sunday and sharing some of my personal testimony about how that was a huge revelation for me, but it takes the humbling part. That's what the humbling part is.
That's right.
Is recognizing that it's not about our strength, but it's about Jesus working through us. But then once we understand that it's Jesus working through us, well, then we, and the anointing working through us, well, then we can line up with what Paul said in Philippians when he said, I can do all things, you know? So it's like, well, it's not about me trying to do all things. It's, it's me allowing Jesus to work through me. And then once I get that, now I can do all things in the, you know, in the anointing.
Exactly right. Why? Because we are co-laborers together with him, right? Yeah. This is the great co-mission. So I am on mission with Jesus. This is a mission. I get to go on this mission, but it's a co-mission. I'm not alone in this. He's my co-laborer. We're co-laborers together with Christ. Go ahead, Jennifer. Right.
Well, Philippians 1:6, to go along with what Joel was saying, says that he who began a good work in me is going to see it to completion. but by the time the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So, I mean, we have to understand that he's already begun the work in us.
Yes.
And he wants to see it to completion, and he's going to give us everything we need to do that, but we have to trust him. And like Joel said, realize that it's not just me. Like, I've been given everything I need, and I've been made righteous with Jesus. So I have to receive that and walk it out, believing that I'm going to see that, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't, it's a lack of confidence. It's, they just don't know the word to the degree that they need to know it. They don't understand it. They're not hearing it. And so when you were talking about, you know, the quote mega churches, my heart, like, it's not a jealous thing that they're bigger churches. It's not a, I wish we had that. It's a compassion for them.
Right.
Because so many of these people don't, the people that attend these churches, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them have never heard the truth preached the way that they need it to be preached to them so that they can grow spiritually. So I have compassion for them and love for them.
And again, you know, we really try not to make blanket statements on this broadcast. So anybody watching
a lot of great mega churches.
There's a lot of great mega churches out there. There are a lot of great pastors. So this is.
And their hearts are to share Jesus. Like all of us have the same heart to share Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we have to understand that, you know?
Right.
Important.
But that's the real breakthrough though.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a church is preaching about your breakthroughs coming, this and that, well, the breakthrough is what we just talked about in that understanding. Because once you understand that Jesus and the anointing is working through you, now you have breakthrough, because now you can break through all everything that had been holding you back before.
So good. So good.
You don't have to wait on it.
That's right.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I don't know. Let's see here.
There's some pretty good comments. You could share some comments.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah. Let's see here. Let me get over to that screen. What'd Carol say here? Pastor JJ, that's right. She told me she knew she would be responsible for it if she heard what I was trying to tell her. So that's the person that put her. Knew she would be responsible for
it.
Exactly. That's hilarious. Well, it's sad and hilarious.
Sad, Brief, right.
I'm really grateful for these teachings. I like that I don't have to be controlled by emotions. I love that Jesus speaks to us in truth and not emotions. Yes. Laura said you have to prune off the dead parts to make a plant flourish.
Good.
Excellent. She is a horticulturalist, kind of.
She knows.
I'm not a trade or anything like that. Let's see here. I don't know who this is. The Voice to the Nations. Well, thank you for joining us, The Voice to the Nations. Said you're so true on what the mega church preaches. And again, you know, I just say that in humility. We don't know all the mega churches. I'm just saying the loudest voices out there typically are not sharing a finished work of the cross message that I've heard. Let me just say it that way. Ashley says, yes, that's exactly it, Noel.
Joel.
Gonna get
Noel.
Oh, that's what I'm gonna start calling him. Noel.
Well, I thought the Voice to the Nations was maybe her friend Noel, so I don't know. But anyway, Joel, she's correct. I said Joel. That's hilarious. And then she comes on and says, when we got that, it totally transformed our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Voice to the Nations said, this is my first time. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful
to see you. So here we are, and you know, I think that the word does this, right? So I'm going to bring up a verse of scripture that Joel kind of alluded to, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Those of you taking notes right here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the last verse of this chapter says this. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Mm-hmm. I said the last verse. There's verse 17. I'll read verse 17 here in a second, but let's just pause here for a second. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if you believe that, that goes back to 46% of evangelicals that say they believe the Bible don't, and we quoted this up front at the beginning of this survey, at the beginning of the broadcast. You can go back to and watch that if you haven't seen it. 46% of evangelicals say that there's no objectionable truth, outside truth, that everybody's got their truth and all these kind of things. But all scripture is given by God. And I've shared this before. In fact, I do have this up, and let me share a slide here really quickly. It's the Jesus word truth triangle. So, this has been handy in a couple of our episodes. So, but check this out. Jesus, In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. They're on the right side of the triangle. John 17, 17, at the bottom, that connection, when Jesus is praying, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So sanctifying means set apart. It's how we, it's how we're called out and set apart and kind of thrust into our kingdom assignment and into our kingdom assignment, into the mandate that God's created for us. The word does that. The truth of the word will set you apart. And then Jesus, of course, in John 1, 14, said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word, so there's Jesus, the word, and truth all in one verse of scripture there in John 1, 14. So for us to grow, go on and grow up spiritually, we've got to understand the place that the word has in our life and really honor the word. And so when something comes up in the word and it's, and we read something that really doesn't resonate with us, or we're like, man, where did that come from? We've got to understand that we got to rightly divide the word, right? Mm-hmm. So we rightly divide the word, which in a general sense basically means, I'll give a very elementary outlook on dividing the word really quickly. I feel like this is important. You have the word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I know it's not in the middle, but let's just say Jesus is in the middle, right? So you've got the old covenant, Jesus comes along in the gospels, and the new covenant. So the old covenant, you know, there's all these books and all this prophecy and all these things. Jesus comes in the gospels, and then he acts as a bridge from the old covenant. He's a prophet of the old, under the old covenant. He fulfills the law. He fulfills the old covenant while also bridging the way and making way for the new covenant. And the picture of him hanging on the cross, you know, just that's a picture of this. So a lot of times people say, well, there's two parts, there's two sections to the Bible, Old and New Testament. That's fairly correct. I like to say that there's three. There's Old Testament and then the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right up to the resurrection. And then from the resurrection on is the new covenant that we now have because of the cross. Mm-hmm. And so when you understand that, you can rightly divide the word. It makes perfect sense how you can read Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus and all of these things that the law provided and showed. And remember, Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that the law is holy, just, and good. But what we say around here all the time is the law, even though it's holy, just, and good, it can never make you holy. It can never make you just or righteous, and it can never make you good. But now if we rightly divide the word and we read the old covenant from a new covenant perspective, looking back at that, everything makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And so when we rightly divide the word, then we can see that if I see something in the word of God that's kind of rubbing me the wrong way, I can immediately say, that doesn't sit well with me, but guess what? It's right and I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so good.
We get to a place where you can become quicker and quicker and quicker at that. And when you understand new covenant realities and you understand what the grace of God is in your life and how it, you know, you're saved by grace through faith. And so when God's grace and my faith come together and collide, all of a sudden anything's possible, because Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes, but it's not based on my ability. It's God's ability, which is his grace. Who wants to jump in there for a second before I read that last scripture?
I'll just say that what you're talking about, rightly dividing the word, sometimes there's things that when it stings or when it doesn't make sense, you have to dive a little bit deeper into it. And like you said, it's understanding that those different things and then reading everything from a new covenant perspective. But then, you know, there's things too that you take into consideration, especially with Paul's letters, is who was he writing to? What was going on there? What was the purpose for why he was writing that letter to them? We have to do more than just pluck verses out. Because sometimes the overall theme of what, you know, one of the New Testament writers or Paul's letters or something like that isn't perfectly laid out in just one verse. Like, so you have to kind of dig a little bit deeper. And then a lot of times for me, that's when things would become clear. So like you said, if there was something that didn't sit right, I'd be like, all right, well, I got to look into this more. I got to get a little bit more into this. And sometimes that would be word studies too, you know, looking at the Greek definitions. And
that's exactly right.
You got to get in there, and you got to really dig sometimes to reveal, right, to let God reveal fully the mystery that he has in that.
That's excellent. And along with that, I've learned that it's important that I continue to renew my mind to knowing how much God loves us. And when we truly understand how much he loves us, it gets easier when we have to dig a little deeper, you know, it kind of plays with the other. So it's good.
That was excellent. I'm going to ask a question. I want you to put them in the comments. Speaking of the comments, the Voice to the Nations commented and said, my name is Judah and I am from Bradford, England.
Awesome.
Cheerio, mate. I don't know. I probably just butchered that completely, but welcome.
That's awesome.
To the podcast. Thank you so much for watching. Judah. So put in the comments there what you think the best translation of the Bible is. And I'm going to answer that question. The best translation of the Bible. There are people that swear by the New King James. Swear by is probably not the right thing to say, but they would say New King or the King James Version. Translation, the verses that I'm reading today are out of the New King James for today. But what is the best translation of the Bible? What is the best translation of the Bible? Come on, put it, blow up the comments.
I comment just want to look at the comments now.
I want to see. Come on, don't be shy. Joel said a good thing about digging deep in the word and research and studies. That's so important because what we do is the Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Yeah.
So you can't just look at one verse of scripture and be stumped. Like, let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let me give you an example. Jesus, when he's being tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, one of the answers that he gave, he was tempted three times. And one of the answers that Jesus gave, he quoted the word all three times, Old Testament scripture, all three times. And one of the answers was, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Now, I want you to get this. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In fact, I'm going to bring this up so you can see this.
I'll just say real quick while you're looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love how Satan actually quoted scripture.
How he quoted scripture?
In that, right? Like, isn't that, like, even Satan was quoting scripture. Like, I don't know. Sometimes
that's exactly right.
About Satan. Well, like, what's wrong with that, dude?
So Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he's quoting an Old Testament verse that says, in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt fear the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So it's in Deuteronomy, and I can't think of it right now. So I apologize. I wasn't prepared for that. My point is this. And let's see. Bree says, I like Amplified, but my favorite Bible is NIV. Voice of the Nations gave two. Judah said ESV and New King James Version, I guess that is. Let's see. Laura says Amplified. She says she also likes the NLT. Rhonda says New King James Version and NIV. That's awesome.
I'm with Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley says, I like to start in the New King James, then go to the Amplified, and then the Passion. It's like Joel said, digging further in to fully understand. That's all good. And then there's all kinds. Judah shared all kinds. Ready? Okay, so here is definitively, ready? You can call your neighbors, call your friends, text them right now. They're about to hear definitively. No debate. There's no debate. This is the greatest translation of the Bible. You guys ready? Jesus.
It's good.
Jesus is the greatest translation. So what I mean by that is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is he's an exact representation of the Father, and he is the Word made flesh.
Yeah.
So Jesus is the Word made flesh. So my point being is this, and I wasn't trying to do a trick question or anything like that, just kind of a shock value kind of question. But my point is this, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what translation you read, take the truth of what you're reading and take it through the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Have
good.
You been taught that the word says, for example, that, well, God, you know, he heals some people and doesn't heal others. It's like, it's his will to heal sometimes. And sometimes it's not his will. Well, is that true where Jesus is concerned? Did he ever turn somebody away that came to him for healing and said, no, I can only heal on Saturdays or Sundays or Wednesdays. I can only heal after you've cleaned yourself up. No, that wasn't him. So that theology doesn't pass the Jesus word test. And so that's just one example. We don't have time for a whole lot, but we could come up with probably 10 examples really quickly. And Bree said, Jesus is the greatest. That's good. Carol says, yes, Jesus. Jennifer, I'm just going to pass it to you. So how can, if you had somebody sitting in front of you, which you do right now, you can't see them, but if they if they were going to ask you, you know, what is some advice that you would give somebody, if somebody in your church came up to you, as you know, one of the ladies in church, and said, how can I grow up into some of these spiritual things? And you had to boil it down into like 30 seconds, not to put you on the spot, but I know that you're good at this. You know, what would you say to them? How would you address that question?
I would say two things. One that I've wanted to say since we started today in my prayer time, growing up spiritually, I think that this generation, and I'll consider myself as part of the younger generation, but we take we don't take seriously the older generation. We don't respect the older generation. They have a lot of wisdom to share. I know in our church family in particular, we have some older, I'll say more mature believers, and they have so much to offer this generation. And we, as a younger generation, we are so, I know it all. I don't need to be taught anything. I know everything I need to know. And we need to start turning to that older generation, because they have a lot of wisdom to impart into us to help us on our spiritual maturity journey. The other thing I'll say is this. God wants us to be mature Christians. And one of the ways we do that is we exemplify his qualities. And it's real simple. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You guys know all of those things. For me, if I'm talking to someone, those are the things I'm going to tell them. Listen to the older generation. They have a lot to offer and wisdom that they can impart into you. And then the other thing I would say is it's time to grow up spiritually, and you are called to have the characteristics of your Heavenly Father. You are called into the things of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit are some of those things. That's what I think I would say to somebody that was asking me.
Excellent. Joel, that'll be your kind of last word for the, we got a few minutes left here. Joel, same question to you, if you want to expound or just go a little different direction, if she took your answer, but just kind of, what would you like to add? How would you like to share your last word?
So just like kind of what I said earlier, just about being willing to constantly be examining yourself, and be open to what God wants to speak to you about, so that, and really don't let fear hold you back from wanting to grow. Fear of not knowing what to expect, or fear of missing out on cultural things, you know, of the world. And there can be, there's just so many things that can be subtle fear that will hold you back from being able to grow. And I just encourage anybody that's listening to this, I promise you, everything that stung, that hurt a little bit, that made me examine myself in a way that I just was not comfortable with, every time that I repented, right? Every time I changed my mind, which is what repent means, every time I changed my mind from that, and I took that step spiritually and grew into something new, like God had something there ready for me to grow into that next level. And it was like so much better than anything that this life could have given me, the things that I gave up or the things that I changed my mind to. It's so much better. I promise you. I promise you, growing spiritually is going to be so much better than where your life is now. Every step of the way will be better.
I'll share one more verse of scripture. That is excellent. Ephesians chapter 4. He says this: he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why are these folks in our lives? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, like what is an edifice? It's a building, right? So the building, the edifying, or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And watch this, I want you to see the connection to what we shared earlier here, that we should no longer be children, right? What is the difference in a child drinking milk versus eating meat? An understanding of righteousness, knowing who you are in Christ, those kinds of things. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and of deceitful plotting. Now watch this. Love this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So I'm going to tie just some loose ends together here. Our time is really up for today. But the point is this. You've got to hear the truth. The word is truth. Jesus is the truth. The word is Jesus, right? And so all these things coming together to pour into your life, because you need to change. You need renewed. You are a spirit, have a soul, live in a body. Your mind, will, and emotions need to be renewed, right? You need the mind of Christ. You need to renew your mind to what the word says. Spiritually, you don't need to grow up. So this is kind of the punchline of the whole thing. Spiritually speaking, you are as mature and complete as you possibly will ever be. And I just feel compelled to share a verse of scripture really quickly. So some people might be like, what do you mean? Hebrews chapter 10. You can see here Hebrews 10, chapter 10. Watch this. Verse 14. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So what this verse of scripture is saying, spiritually speaking, you've been perfected. It means mature. It doesn't mean that you make no mistakes. He's talking about you spiritually. You have been made mature. You've been made complete. You are a perfect man spiritually. But now we renew our mind. We crucify our flesh. We have to take these steps so that the flesh won't take preeminence in our life and keep us back from the spiritual reality that belongs to us. And so that's my encouragement to you guys that watching this or might be listening to this. Really step out there in faith and understand that there are spiritual truths that you need to walk in, and you can't let your mind hold you back. You can't let your old will, the things that you used to desire, keep holding you back in your flesh and those kind of things. And I promise you that you'll see results in your life that will just blow you away. And you know what? I'm going to just give a shout out. Judah, you have blessed me today. You said a good thing, Jennifer, about the older generation. And then last comment I'll read today, this has blessed me and I will be following you.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. Spread the word across the pond. Spread the word in England.
Yes.
We'd like to have some more people that can interact with. This is what the body of Christ is all about. And we love you. We want you to know that Jesus is Lord. You are complete in him. And we are going to dance it out like we always do. You guys have an awesome week. Amen. All right. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping we'd dance out to the Toys R Us song.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we'll get a copyright strike.
Yes.
We'll copyright strike us if we do that. Hey, guys, you guys have a wonderful week.
Bye.
See ya.